people and books and things out there say that that's what you have to do. You have to, like, you got to go all in. It's all or nothing. It's home run or nothing, you know, and that's not true. And
yeah, to stick with the baseball analogy, home runs, not the only way to score runs.
Exactly.
I don't really want to talk about baseball, though.
Yeah, Braves. Oh, God.
One characteristic emerged as a significant predictor of success. It was grit.
What's up?
What's up, Dad?
We're back, sort of. This is going to be pretty off-the-cuff episode. I've been out of the office for a couple weeks. Had my second daughter last Wednesday, October 9th. So that's exciting.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, everything went smoothly. This is Kyle, by the way, who's speaking. Everything went relatively smoothly. Went into the hospital on Tuesday night and got home Friday afternoon. So not too bad. Everybody's doing well. And now we're just trying to figure out how to avoid having the kids wake each other up when they get loud in the middle of the night. So
I can't even imagine what that's like. Like, it was hard enough with one. I can't imagine having two relatively young. It scares me.
It's so far, it's been pretty good. It's funny, like, the newborn is, her name is Sloane, and she's very sleepy, as newborns are wont to be. So it's like, oh, this is actually pretty easy. Why did I think this was hard the first time? Now she just, like, sleeps and eats, and it's pretty simple, whereas Emma's almost two and is, like, running all over the place. So it's, you know, it's a little different.
Is she going to daycare or anything like that right now, Emma?
Emma's only in 2 days from, like, 9 to 2. So it's pretty minimal, which is cool because we get to spend a ton of time with her, but is a little more, obviously makes this period more exhausting because you're kind of trying to entertain her all day, 3 days during the week and on the weekends, and then also, you know, stay up in the middle of the night to feed the newborn. So far, so good. It's definitely fun. There's something different about it. It's funny having, like, the car with two car seats and, like, the back seats full of kids, which
when
is
you get
fun.
In the van.
Well, we got the Hyundai Santa Fe, which is, ooh, like, kind of the van in disguise, right?
Nice.
It's like the Honda Pilot.
Cool van.
Yeah. It's like, if you don't want to give up and get a van, you just get that and pretend like you're still cool. So that's what we're doing.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So I haven't done a ton on the work front, but just trying to, like, fix a few bugs that have come up or answer a few support things, do some manual kind of data massaging for specific customer requests, and then work with Luis on the development side to just, as he gets actual work done, and I'm just trying to get some sleep.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting to talk about all the, like, the life stuff, which is very much if you're a small startup, especially if you're bootstrapped and you're a small team. I mean, that's like it's like a huge part of it. It's not just like, here's our company. Like, it's like all together.
Yeah.
Like, all the different things going on. Like,
it's unavoidably, they're inextricably linked, both because you're super small and you don't have a ton of resources, but also because part of the reason for doing it this way is so you can optimize or think about those things more than maybe typically you would. So,
yeah. Yeah. It's, yeah. I was just telling you before this that my daughter, this is Landon, is one. And she decided to, I think, hit the terrible twos, like, at one. So she's really just, like, whining all the time and just, like, you know, she's constantly, like, unhappy or wants to, like, get up and do something, like, get away. Like, I'm bored. Or I need you. And it's, like, it's just, like, it's a lot of work. And then, you know, you work all day. And then you go home, and then it's like a new job. You have to, like, switch, and it's hard to do that when you're a bootstrap company. And you've got, I was talking to my wife, and we were talking about how, like, when you had the baby the first time, your first baby, I guess, you know, it's like 2 years ago now. When I think back at where the business was 2 years ago, like, we probably only had maybe 5 to 7 customers
it was small.
It was just ad reform, and we only had 5 to 7 customers. So, like, you know, support was kind of a breeze. Like, there wasn't that much going on. It was, it was pretty simple. And now we have, across both products, we probably have, I don't know, like 70 to 80-ish customers, I think.
Yeah.
Which is a lot more. And that could range from anywhere from, you know, like 2 to like 50 users within a customer account. So a lot more support, a lot more, you know, just things going on in the product. Could be a bug, could be just, you know, support issues, challenges they're having, customer calls. And so this week has been like way different than it was the first time.
Yeah.
The first time you went, because I'm like, oh yeah, it was no big deal last time. And it's just now it is definitely feels different because we have pretty much the same size team. We do have a little bit bigger, like we have another developer, Lewis, and he's kind of working on, you know, his own things right now. He's working on you know, some new features on the user feed side. But it's like from a support standpoint, there's not really anybody different. Like it's just us. So it's definitely been different, you know, in somewhat a good way. I'm glad we have a lot of customers paying us, and that's great. But it's definitely been harder. So that's been an interesting difference.
Yeah,
as this has all happened.
Well, it's funny because it's less stressful in a way too, because we actually have money coming in and we have salaries. So last time it was like the anxiety was less around like people trying to get stuff done and asking for help and stuff like that. It was more around like there aren't enough people doing that. So we need to be building stuff and selling and marketing and trying to get those people.
Mm-hmm.
So like every week that you're not doing that, it's like it's peaceful, it's quiet, but you're also working for free. And will that day ever come that someone's gonna, like, you're gonna have enough money to get paid to do it?
Well, so. And it was like, oh, because it was the first kid that either of us had. So it was like, oh God.
Yeah,
like we gotta make some money.
Yeah, we have
this,
there's more than
real.
Just yeah. It's like a couple, two couples was hard, and then like you're like, there's now dependents. We gotta figure this out. So
I'm fine to eat ramen and like nothing every day, but it's like like it just doesn't work the same when you have a kid. It's like, oh no.
Yeah, totally.
They can't eat ramen.
Especially childcare costs in the US.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, that's been a big difference. I mean, I think that's an interesting topic that we could probably talk a lot about, is just like bootstrapping as you have kids and like what your significant other does.
Yeah.
Cause they probably have to work, I would assume.
Or you have there's gotta be some other source of income if you're going it completely alone, which is again, why some of the new funding sources like Tiny Seed and stuff are cool, because they give you like another route for people who don't have that. So
yeah,
definitely feels better in that way, because my wife doesn't have, like, she's a real estate agent, so she doesn't get paid leave, obviously. Like you just don't work and you don't make any money, which was a lot more stressful the first time around because I wasn't making money either.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit better this time.
Yeah. Yeah, all this stuff is crazy. I mean, when you actually think about it, if you were to think about it from, I don't know, like a, just take yourself back, or like a third party perspective, it's like, okay, like 99.9% of startups fail. And that includes the ones that actually, you know, raise some sort of money. So you're talking about like bootstrap companies, you know, and then you're like throwing like babies into the mix and all these different like obstacles, and you're like, oh yeah, we're still gonna, like,
yeah.
It's just like crazy to think, like, I think some people are just like, what are you doing?
Well, I,
like,
think, yeah,
why are you doing that?
It's like failure is kind
so
of like
hard.
A broad term, right? Like if you think about that situation where it's like you don't have neither of you are getting paid, you have a baby, it's pretty stressful, you don't know what the future holds, like failure could be like a choice to say, I'm not gonna, like a very logical choice to be like, this doesn't make sense for me to do anymore. So we're going to shut it down, or I'm going to exit the business, or whatever the situation is. So it's hard to know, like, if failure means like, maybe a lot of times probably you just didn't have enough time, either because you needed to like take care of other issues, or you had other opportunities that made more sense financially, or whatever the situation is. Like some of it's just surviving long enough to get to the point where it makes sense.
And oh yeah. It's definitely surviving. Like, so that's the key. I mean, I think that's like, that's sort of what running, we're sitting here talking about all these like, there's all these challenges, all these obstacles, you know, whether it's like you know, your kids, like having kids and stuff, like that definitely presents challenges to all of this. And then just stuff that's going on in the business. There's constant, it's just constant, like, thing, like problems you have to solve. Everything is just like little mini micro problems constantly. I mean, we sat here and talked about like a million of them this morning. There's just like all these problems getting thrown at us, whether it's with our product, with products we're built on, you know, like all kinds of just problems everywhere, trying to just like, okay, let's stack these up and just try to just solve one, you know, try to get one or two solved a day and just like make little decisions constantly to get those solved. If you're not the type of person that likes that or gets anxiety from that, this is not the, it's not the life for you.
It's kind of good to have that. Like, you want to have somewhat of a broad view of that stuff to understand like the gravity of the various things, if they're all, especially in accumulation, like, oh, if these things all add up, it's kind of a big job. But it's also good to, I think, for productivity and like stress, it's probably good to just like, okay, what's step zero? What's step one? What's step two? We're not going to like, Rome wasn't built in a day type of thing. So anyway, I don't even know what we're talking about now, but I'm a little bit meandering.
That's what this episode was supposed to be.
Yeah, like, not exactly on my, like, on my A game right now, but
me either. This week has been hard and like, I'm just tired, but mostly because it's mostly my fault. I stayed up late, but yeah, on a very bright note, one of the episodes that we, I think it was like two or three episodes ago, we talked about our jump into advertising. So we said we would, like, you know, after like a month or so, we'll come back and talk a little bit about like what ended up happening with that. Were we actually onto something? Like, were we going to get ROI on it? So, yeah, things have been going awesome since we started doing advertising for Ad Reform. We were talking about this morning, but we've brought in about $2,000 in monthly reoccurring revenue, and we spent around $400 in that same time frame on advertising, which is super low.
If we want to make it sound really good too, I think we got zero anything from a little bit of that ad spend. So if we, not that you can do this because we did spend that money, but like the channels that seem to be working, it's even less expensive than that. Yep. Or we're putting even less money into those. And so it's been pretty good so far.
Yeah. So it's only been, you know, a little bit over a month. So it's still not enough data to make I think you probably need about 6 months of data and then be able to look back at the prior 6 months and be able to say, okay, there's like a big difference here. But just in that time frame, well, we are already noticing we're getting a lot more signups. So it's easy to see that there are, you know, there's a lot of value here. And then during that time frame, we've been able to bring on, you know, $2,000 and MRR, which is awesome from those, you know, signups. And there's like a lot of opportunities going on, so that it could be a lot more than that, like in the next few weeks. So it's looking like it's panning out really well, and we're starting to optimize a little bit. So we dropped one of our channels because we didn't really feel like we were getting a lot from that. And we're starting to spend a bit more and optimize like the targeting of those specific channels that we're using. So we'll see how that works in the next, you know, the next like month or two, and we'll come back and talk about it again. But so far, so good. And if this keeps up, we will definitely look into spending more and going after this harder and spending more time on it. But this is, you know, just like anything else with a startup, it's like, it's just constant, like, you know, little bit of an experiment. Let's see what happens. Okay, it looks like it's trending in the right direction. Put a little bit more time or money or resources into it, and then just kind of go like that. Yeah. And it's just like constant little experiments. But so far, so good. So we're very excited about that, because that could completely change the business.
Yeah, it'll be interesting too to see how seasonality might come into play, because especially for Ad Reform, obviously there's a lot of advertising campaign work that happens around this time of year.
Yeah.
So that could make it better for us or worse. Like, a lot of people do freezes on stuff like this. Like, after a certain point, as Black Friday gets close, they're not going to like integrate new tools into the workflow. We don't really fall into like, we're, since we're kind of outside the ad delivery itself, like we might not be impacted by that, but it'll be interesting to see if we see spikes based on like time of year too.
Well, it is funny. I mean, there's a lot, like every industry has seasonality, but like in our last business we were in, it's like Q4 was like the worst.
Yeah.
Because we worked with a lot of e-commerce companies, and so Q4 is obviously huge for them, but that also means they're not looking at any vendors.
It's just lockdown mode at that point.
Yeah, like lockdown mode, and they're just like all in on that big, like, what was
well, it's Black Friday.
Black Friday, and it's the holidays.
And all the, I mean, now it's hard to even keep up. But,
yeah.
Because now it probably happens in July too with like Prime Day and all this.
Yep.
Everybody's trying to compete with all these things. But
then the beauty of ad tech is that like all those e-commerce companies are now like, because it's the holidays, they're like, they're spending tons of money on ads. And so all these ad tech companies are running all these campaigns for their clients. And when you run those campaigns, you
need tools like Adform.
You need tools like Adform. So, and you realize like, oh my God, this is like so much volume. We don't have the people for this. Like we need some automation tools. So boom. But, and then like Q1 can be great too, because people get their budgets and like they start, fresh. Right. And they want to like get the year started off. So this could be a really big next 6 months.
Well, I guess now that I'm thinking about it, we've seen some of our bigger deals, and it might just be coincidence, but a few of our bigger, especially annual or multi-year deals around the beginning of the new year, like the first quarter.
Yeah.
And that might just be coincidence, but it might be people trying to like, especially converting from like monthly and trying to save a little money, and you know you have budget, you can go annual, whatever. So
yeah,
we'll see, I guess, but so far so good.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah, we'll see what happens, but it could be a really big time for us, so I'm very excited. But it's also just like more it's like, oh, we're getting just all these
thing.
New yeah, yeah, we've gotten all these new customers, and then we're obviously, there's less time across both of us now with the newborn. So it's just like, oh man, there's so many, I mean, just like everybody else, like there's so many different things we need to do, and not nearly enough resources or time or money or anything.
Yeah.
But we're alive, which is the point.
Well, and
we're surviving.
Yeah. With all these constraints on time, this is Kyle again. I had sort of this long running contract project that's been like floating around in the background. I guess I don't think I've talked about it on the podcast, but it started a long, long time ago, actually before we started paying ourselves, which was part of why I took it in the first place. And I just decided to basically like pass it off and say like, I'm basically step out of it and I'm not doing it. It's definitely been one of those things. I mean, you hear this on a lot of people are using that kind of stuff to like sustain the cash flow while they're trying to figure out a SaaS business. And this particular project has been like super long running and kind of dragging on, and we've had like all sorts of weird turnover and stuff. So especially with a newborn, we already had two products we're trying to build. It was already a lot pre-baby, but now it's just like, it doesn't make sense. So I think I'm going to step out of that, and I think that'll be a nice, like, it's not even going to free up, like, it wasn't taking me so much time week to week, but just the cognitive load of having to like think about it. Oh, I need to email them, or oh, I need to do X, or, you know, and of course sometimes it is time, but a lot of it's just that extra set of things you're trying to keep track of is just something I don't want to have to think about. So that'll feel good to be done with that.
For sure. And I mean, the nice thing about like bootstrapping our own company and stuff, and I've been, you know, we've been thinking about this stuff for a little bit, but like now, you know, we ended up making the decision to hire another developer, and then you know, we'll wait a little while to start to, we'll see like how the revenue goes, which we would assume that it would continue to grow, and it has. And then at some point, like, hey, let's just pay ourselves more. Like, well, then you start to weigh that decision of like, should we hire another developer, or should we,
yeah,
or another, you know, position, or should we pay ourselves more?
Feed the machine a little bit more and try to get the growth going more, or take a little out, or so. But it's good to have options, obviously.
Yeah. Every day I'm like thinking of something different. I'm like, maybe pay ourselves a little more.
Yeah.
And then some days I'm like, oh man, there's so much we can do. Like, let's just reinvest. And then the next day I'm like,
And I know we've touched on this before, but a part of that analysis for us is like, what are you comfortable with in terms of runway and like burn rate isn't even a term that like we use because we're not burning. But so we're not comfortable with that. And then at some point, if you are going to go into like a little bit of burn, like how much do you need to have? Like if you're going to commit to hiring someone, what is the time horizon that you feel comfortable with? Like I know VC, like super Silicon Valley style is like, they might have like 3 months cash on it. It's like kind of crazy and they'll hire way ahead of anything like that, which is not at all what we're doing, obviously. So we'll see. I mean, it's nice to slowly grow because also it allows us to like kind of adapt our organizational structure, our process, and like not throw a bunch of people into the mix before we have that stuff figured out. So,
well, the advertising stuff is like another big part of that, I think, is starting to feel like you have a better grasp of when, like before, I feel like for the first couple of years, it was very spotty in terms of like, I have no idea when we're going to get new customers, but when we did, you know, they might be pretty good sized deals. We might get like a little like spurt of like three in a row. But there was no, like, it wasn't consistent. It wasn't like something we could rely on when we were going to get those new customers. It was very random because they would just come to us like inbound. But now with like, if we can really spec out like an advertising channel and get that consistent, then we can start to forecast a little bit easier. And then I feel a little bit more comfortable in terms of like hiring to be like, okay, I know we never, like, customers typically don't churn. So I can feel confident that, you know, we'll probably grow X amount over this next month or next 3 months. And then we can say, okay, maybe we can hire a little bit ahead of what we used to. And we're still not like really like burning because we know kind of where we're at.
Yeah. And at a minimum, like, because those ad conversions and stuff could shift in ways that are hard to predict. But at a minimum, it's like if these ad campaigns keep working, even just for a while, like we'll just have more money in general. So even if that conversion rate starts dipping or whatever the case is, like it'll help us get to a point where we're comfortable doing that sooner anyway. So
yeah. And we're still spending such a small amount on advertising in comparison to like, I think what
anything.
Most like companies are, but
yeah, if we can prove it out, we can increase that, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. The predictable, like once you can, everything changes when you get to something that like, when you've figured out that like predictable, like, so like that's like maybe a topic for another time, but like everybody talks about product market fit. But there's also that other one that, like, I feel like there's another phase because I feel like we had product market fit for a while. Like, obviously, this is a problem. People are paying us this amount. Like, we have some traction. We've got customers. But there's, like, a difference between that and, you know, getting your first 10 customers or whatever. And then, like, oh, we have, like, a predictable machine here that, like, we know that if we do X, we'll be at. Likely be at somewhere around X revenue in the next 2, 3, 4 months. And that changes everything because then you can start to make hiring decisions off of that. You can start to make, like, all startups are so much about like making decisions with no data, or at least the early stage portion, which is, I feel like most of what we've always done, which I hate. Like, it's like the worst. It's so hard to make decisions because you just like, I don't know what's going to happen.
A fear of being wrong or whatever.
Yeah. Because wrong could be like a big
devastating
problem. So once you get to that predictability, like that changes everything, because then you know it's no longer just throwing stuff at a wall and hoping it sticks. I mean, you probably are a little bit, but not to the same extent,
at least only in part of the business or something. But
yeah,
and like if you maintain some of that lean mindset and like being super pretty conservative and kind of like not like, oh, we found a repeatable channel, let's completely change how we do things and we just start throwing money around. It's like, maybe you turn it up a little bit, but if you maintain that slow, steady mindset, you can also, like, you're kind of hedging against like future unknowns, where if the market shifts or a competitor happens or like the job that you solve goes away or whatever, like you haven't created this like sandcastle that's all going to collapse.
Yeah.
So,
well, that, I think that's what most people do is, and a lot of people and books and things out there say that that's what you have to do. You have to, like, you got to go all in. It's all or nothing. It's home run or nothing, you know, and that's not true. It isn't true.
Yeah.
And
that's
part
of the baseball analogy. Home yeah. runs, not the only yeah. way to score runs.
Exactly.
I don't really want to talk about baseball, though.
Yeah, Braves. Oh, God. But yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, that's partly why we've done, like a lot of people would say, like, what do you guys, why do you have two products? Like, that's stupid. You know, you're not spending all your, and they're right to some extent, right? We aren't spending, we're definitely sacrificing time with one if we're spending time on the other. So that is totally true. But it does, like, I feel like we're not too bought into anything. Like, we're passionate about what we're doing and the businesses that we're building, but we're not, like, so over the top to the point where it's, like, it's going to be, we're going to get in a situation where it's all or nothing. Like, the number one goal is that we want to, you know, solve problems for customers and build a sustainable business that, like, that we're having fun doing and we're able to make a good living. Like, that's the number one goal. It's more about, it's just all about, like, solving problems for customers and, like, basically all about us too, like our team, like us and our employees. So we're not worried about, like, what other people think or what other people, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, no, it's we're basically focused on building businesses that solve problems, but the actual specific class of problem is less important.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's how we built both products. Like, we kind of uncovered them as we got into it. We felt that for user feed, like, we kind of felt it, so we solved it. So that's kind of it, at least for us. That's how, I guess, seems to work for us.
Yeah.
Is kind of feel it or see it and hear about it and then kind of see if you can solve it. So
for sure. Well,
yeah, so kind of a rambler here, but figured we'd check back in, keep the podcast going before we lost our momentum completely.
Yeah. On that topic, since we didn't have, or I guess we didn't have something this, so if you're listening to this now, we're doing this last week.
Yes.
last Friday.
Time travel.
But I just saw on my phone that Getting to Ramen is another podcast that we were recently on as a guest, and they just launched it today. Today being Friday, the 18th. So if you're listening to this on Monday, and you haven't listened to the Getting to Ramen podcast, go check it out. We're on it.
Yeah, you can still get your fill, even though we missed a week. I mean,
people really need their fill.
I'm sure they're clamoring for it.
Yeah,
and I think we even referenced the Braves on that podcast as well, which is sad
before
to think
they
about.
Lost.
That was before the fall.
Oh,
so,
God.
If you want to travel back to when we were hopeful Atlanta sports fans again, you can do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. So, I guess we'll keep it going in the next few weeks. It might be a little more casual like this. We have some more topics to cover, of course, as usual. But we'll see how it feels, and I'll see how awake I am, and we can go from there.
Yeah, we'll try to get a topic out there. I already can think of a couple in my head right now.
There's no shortage. Yeah.
If
you're listening to and you have ideas or suggestions or complaints, hit us up on Twitter or madewithgrid.fm. You can find us. So we'd love to hear about it.
Cool.
Awesome.
Back to the babies.
All right.
Let's do it.
I'm going to go get some sleep.